Shalom, my Sabbath friends. I am Stefan Yah, and one of the questions we'll answer today is Palm Sunday on Sunday, and another is, can any good thing come out of Rome? And the answer to that, surprisingly, will be yes. So that might get your curiosity up there. And so many will celebrate Palm Sunday on the 25th, the third month, that's 325 of the year 2018. The scripture shows that yes, it was a palm tree that they used leaves to lay down before Messiah, but it was not Sunday for that particular year. Matthew chapter 21 and John, or Yochanan chapter 12, prove that it was 5 days before Passover. And Passover is on Aviv 14. So this day that Messiah entered into Bethany would have been Aviv 9, if my math is correct. So the not-so-long-haired Messiah rode into Bethany on a colt, not to proclaim that the Sabbath is no longer legitimate, and that Sunday is the new Lord's Day, or Sabbath Day, but to fulfill prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt, from Zechariah 9:9. Well, let's read from the book of Yochanan. That's in the Gospels, John 12:1. Then Messiah, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they... Oh, wait a minute, I'm skipping here to verse 12 from verse 1. On the next day, that would have been 5 days before the Passover, so that's how I come up with Aviv 9. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Yahushua, or Messiah, was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of Yahweh. And Yahushua, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written in Zechariah 9:9, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. And this day, incorrectly called Palm Sunday, despite all the wonderful festivity and the great intentions for most, except for possibly a few leaders that know the truth, but this would have been Aviv 9, 5 days before the Aviv 14 Passover. And in that particular year, if my math is correct, on the 5th day of the week, commonly called Thursday, that Messiah made his entry into Bethany. When the common calendar was changed to the Gregorian calendar, and that would have been the Julian to the Gregorian, time jumped ahead exactly 2 weeks. In other words, it jumped ahead 14 days. And so you could jump down. If they left off on a W day, the 4th day of the week, they would have picked it up on the 5th. So no changing the calendar had caused that any confusion. No days of the week were lost, as the time picked right up within the very next day. Therefore, time has not been lost and can still be accounted for. And I suspect that if you looked up the year 321 A.D., or after Messiah, 321 A.D., possibly that this Aviv 9 fell on a first day of the week, and therefore Emperor Constantine taking advantage of the opportunity to bring all religions together would have used that to help bring about the concept of a Palm Sunday. But it was on a 5th day of the week. Somebody could say, well, what does it matter? It doesn't make any difference anyway. Well, then why call it that? Why come up with a name that isn't correct in the first place? A lot of outsiders might just say, well, see, there's just too many mistakes. I'm not going to become a believer because these religious people are always getting into arguments about mistakes. But no, let's bring it up to the table and find out exactly what the truth is about things, not just cover it up or slur it over or and smile about it. But truly, they do have a great festival. And having grown up in mainline churches before, I could see all the festivities that went on over a lot of preparations. And I think this year possibly they're going to get some blonde snowboarder from a Copper Ski Resort in Colorado and saddle him up on the ass. You know how that goes. But according to Scripture, that it was not a Palm Sunday, not in the year 5 days before Messiah died on the tree at Calvary. And then going to Matityahu or Matthew 12:40, Messiah died on the daytime portion. Just briefly here, Messiah died on the daytime portion of Aviv 14, before dusk, which would have been on that particular year a W day, a Wednesday, or fourth day of the week. So he died Aviv 14 before dusk, and he rose from the grave exactly 3 nights and 3 days later on Aviv 17. If you do the math there, 3 nights and 3 days, from Aviv 14, you add 3, that gives you Aviv 17. And Berry's Greek Interlinear states in Matthew 28:1, as it began to grow dusk before the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Miriam to the tomb. It was not Sunday, but it was growing dusk late on the Sabbath toward the first day of the week. And if you have any comments about that, or that it's wrong to criticize a doctrine, or any other additions or corrections, please send them on to me, to Stephan Yah at YahvehYahweh.name. For the Scripture says, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And it says, man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. That's Luke 4:4. And in Matthew 3:8, we are told to bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And here's another one that you might like. In Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, and he could be speaking to us, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. So that was good. But they have admitted the weightier matters of the Torah, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Then he also adds in the next verse, blind guides, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Sometimes that could apply to a lot of things we do in religion, such as our trying to get our choreography down to a T for the Passover, Passover and for the Sabbath dancing in synagogues. And we have to get our Hebrew grammar just right and to memorize all that. But we have to make an application, you see, is where it meets the road. We must meet an application to apply Yahweh's word to our life. And so otherwise, just vain studying for the sake of study, or studying the law for the sake of learning more laws of what, how other people are breaking them, but supposedly I'm not, that is straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. Gnat, spelled G-N-A-T. So, shalom, and thank you for joining us today. I would like to talk today about a little bit about that Passover. If I bring it up at the beginning, I might lose some of you, but they're having Seder ceremonies around the world, I think, and they're keeping all kinds of different days, maybe a couple of weeks before the actual Passover. So maybe if I could just briefly summarize it that way, that they're not giving the right example, the leaders are not giving the right example. How can I criticize a leader? Well, because I'm one myself, but how can I criticize a person of another faith, because I might have belonged to that faith at one time or another and have taught religion, such as in the RCC church? Can I criticize their football team at Notre Dame if I don't like the way when they give all this, send their son to Notre Dame to college, And then all they get is a quarterback. This is Zephaniah, or as they say, Stephaniah, Stephen. Zephaniah chapter 3. And first of all, I'll read from the King James Version, and this always slipped over my head, or slipped over my mind when I read it. But listen, Zephaniah 3:18, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Now, some of you can make sense out of that, but when I read it, it's just like they were sorry that the solemn assembly wasn't going on or something. But I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Now, that goes along with Isaiah chapter 1:18. I think it was somewhere in chapter 1, where Yahweh was tired of smelling in their feast days and new moons. But let's read a different version now, from the Tree of Life version. See if that makes even better sense. From the TLV, in verse chapter 3:18, I will gather those among you who grieve over your Moedim. I will gather those among you who grieve over your Moedim, or in other words, over your feast days. It is a burden of shame on you. So there's people these days saying, you know, you don't have to do all that stuff. It's unnecessary. Why do you go to all that trouble? What a burden, you know. But why is it a burden in the first place? Well, because of the preparations and the travel time, I guess, three times a year going to the feast days would seem to be somewhat burdensome, or at least laborious. Let's use that word instead. But it's such a blessing, actually, as we see. Isaiah 66, the end times, the book of the Revelation, and Zechariah 14 bring out the real beauty, the joy. Isaiah, certainly, if nowhere else, Isaiah really brings that out clearly, so illustrious that feast days are a joyful time. Maybe not for all of us all the time, you know, but sometimes we just have to work harder at it or pray harder. But and then catch this from the Tree of Life version. I'm going to back up in chapter 3. And let's see. Yahweh has taken away your punishments. He has turned back your adversary. And then this is in verse 15. The King of Israel, the King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst, or in the midst of thee, in the King James. Never again will you fear harm. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, have no fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Yahweh, your Elohim, is in the midst, a mighty Savior. Elohim, Yahweh, in your midst, a mighty Savior. The King of Israel is in your midst. Oh, excuse me. One thing that man has done throughout history is to alter the dates that Yahweh gave us. Leviticus 23 tells us when to keep the dates of his feast, to keep his pure convocations. Then we turn around and we alter those dates drastically, and it seems like that's what we're doing, is giving at least the wrong example. Even if we're trying to teach the right dates, let's keep the feast, as Paul says in the Scripture, not with the old leaven of lies, and with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. With the unleavened bread, not with leavened bread, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says to keep the feast. So there it is, a summary of that Seder that is going around in all kinds of different churches, Lutheran and Presbyterian and Baptist churches and many more. But I don't see any Messianic churches listed there at all on their schedule. No Jewish, not even a Seventh-day Adventist is listed in there. And they have been keeping these feast days. Even there's been other churches all over the realm of Christianity and so on. It's all different dates, and not the dates that Yahweh gave us. Not even one of them is a date, and not one of the groups that tries to keep according to Yahweh's word is listed there, such as a Messianic group, B'nai Yeshurim, B'nai Yeshurim. Well, we can't even say that correctly. But anyway, it's a great group of people up in the Salem, Oregon area that have been keeping the feasts now for many, many years. And each year they get more refined, closer and closer to exactly what the word specifies, what Yahweh's loving word. And he says, keep my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. And then when it comes to unleavening the home, and we look at the ingredients on each package that we might have different products, and even the dog food could possibly have leavening in it. And somebody says, I think that's going too far. I think you've the expression here, you've gone off the deep end, is being used. About properly observing the feasts and the feasts and the commandments of Yahweh. But Yahweh says, it is not your unreasonable service. I'm not asking you to stand on your head, on your left ear. Romans 12:2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you may present it a pure sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice unto Yahweh, which is your, which is your reasonable service. And furthermore, brethren, at the time that we gather together for Yahweh's memorial, for his foot washing, there are still some issues to be settled, even amongst us in the assembly, but also at home, and the spouses maybe not seeing things eye to eye at all. Or maybe there's jealousies going on somewhere else in the business world amongst believers. And, if we just keep the law, but we don't keep it in its spirit, we're certainly straining a gnat and swallowing a camel. Yahweh says, quit that. Knock that off. Quit you like men. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 1 Samuel 4. Quit you like men and become like mature adult believers. Let's not have any of these prejudicial things going on amongst the brethren, especially or with anybody. Don't bear grudges. And here's I even have a scripture verse for that, of course, that I looked up on the eSword. Leviticus 19, verse 18, love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Well, what if we keep different calendars? What if you have a different way of maybe you're a day different than what I'm keeping, for example. What if you're a month off? This year we seem to have a problem of pre-equinox and post-equinox people, and it's not a big schism or anything, but it is a month's difference on some of our reckoning, and I'm still trying to understand it for sure, why we would wait for the equinox and then count the new moon, and that being the first day of the new year, and then following that, the first month of Aviv, and the 14th day is Passover. So whether it has to be before or after the equinox, the crops do have a bearing upon that, the timing. But back to that scripture verse, I kind of got off on a tangent there, you might say, but back to the verse. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against thy children and thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yahweh Almighty. Yahweh Almighty is speaking, the creator of the universe through his Son. He created it. And then in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 9, let's see here, and a lot of our things are in the computer, but If you want to turn the pages, and let's hear the sound of the pages turning, all the more power to you. You've got to hear that. Hear the pages turning. James 5:9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Grudge not one against another, brethren. So I didn't want to take your mind off, but anyway, we're supposed to really think about our interpersonal relationships, especially this time of year, but also whether or not we're dealing treacherously or not, or dealing in spirit and in truth, whether we're dealing equal balances, whether or not we've forgiven somebody or not from some what do I want to, I don't know, inanimate or some sort of a inadvertent act that you or I might have done, and here we still hold prejudice or grudge against one another sometimes because of that old human flesh just keeps trying to rear up there all the time. We haven't been completely circumcised in the heart. Hopefully circumcised for the males physically, but also in the heart as well, spiritually. And by the way, we're reading today, we read from Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge, and James 5:9, grudge not one against another. Most quotations that I give on the podcast are from the King James Version, restoring the proper words and taking out any common words or pagan words. Most quotations from the KJV. But we found out, oh, before I forget, I want to tell you about the Tree of Life version is now available. What good thing could come out of Rome? Well, the Tree of Life version came out of Rome, but it's not where you might think. It's out of Rome, Georgia. But can any good thing come out of Rome? Oh, yes. Certainly. I've been reading the Tree of Life. There's a few things where they didn't translate any differently than the King James. Sometimes not as well. Maybe there's a 1% there, but for the most part, and for the they used Adonai when they should not have. It should have been the from Yahweh's Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton Yahweh, not Adonai. And in every case, they used Adonai. So I can't do anything about that, but everything else seems to be really upgraded and makes a lot more sense. It brings true to life. I don't want to advertise a whole lot of things, but you can find out about the Tree of Life version by Googling this, or go to TLVBibleSociety.org, or look at my website and I'll give you a link. TLV as in the Living Version, BibleSociety.org. And let's see, one more version here, one more scripture or two about sharing with one another, you know. And I will read from the Tree of Life version here in a moment, but Proverbs, let's read from Mishlei 11:25. It says, the liberal, in the King James, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And I suspect that word there, if you look it up, means generous or one who blesses another. A generous soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The TLV, the Tree of Life version, their rendition is, a soul who blesses will prosper, and one who gives water will himself be satisfied. Then from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, King James, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Have you done any of that watering lately? Watering? We're going to talk about water today. The living waters of Yahweh. He that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, to the crooks, if I could use that term, that title, the crooks of the program Water and Living Waters. I have a friend whose last name is Waters. This is also for you. Revelation chapter 7, the revelation of Yochanan. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Are you getting ready for that second coming? Let's get watered up here by the Word, with good water, that is, pure water. Revelation 7, and then that was Revelation 7:17. The Lamb, that is the Messiah, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. Somebody out there is trying to get me to believe that there is no son of Yahweh, that he doesn't exist. Even after having read the book of Isaiah, he still denies that there is a son who historically even died for the sins of mankind on the tree at Calvary. And that was just a few clicks ago, just in 2,000 years ago. A few grandparents. Revelation 21:6 says, And he said unto me, It is done. I am Aleph and Tav. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Can I repeat that? As we water our spiritual bodies and our spirits and our property, let's get really with Yahweh's word. Revelation 21, It is done. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Come to think of it, I could use some of that water right now. That is the physical kind. In chapter 22 now. Okay, let's hear some pages turning. I think I can hear those. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. Pure river, the water of life. The pure river of water of life. And then before that we had the fountain of the water of life. Now back to the water of life again in the same 22 verse 17, the same chapter. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. You are the bride, of course. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that was 22:17, repeating from the previous chapter. And also from Revelation 7:17. Then let's go to Joel. Okay, is everybody there? I didn't hear any pages turning. Oh, you're using your telephone. Okay, that's why I didn't hear anything. Joel 3:18, And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Yehuda shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahweh Almighty, and shall water the valley of Achishia, or S-H-I-T-T-I-M. And I said Achishia, and I spelled that A-C-A-S-I-A. Husbands, it speaks to you in Ephesians 5:25. Yes, we're going to go back to the, or up to the New Testament again for chapter 5 of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wife, even as the Anointed One also loved the assembly and gave himself for it. The Anointed One, the Messiah, gave himself for the assembly and for you, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a splendid church. It says glorious, splendid, a beautiful church, a beautified church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be pure and without blemish. Yes, pure and without blemish for our assembly, for our convocation. I know I did say church, but that was in the text there of the English, and sometimes being imperfect, I will inadvertently say that word, but I know what it means, and that we should be using the word assembly. But I just have to mechanically and mentally make that correction as we speak. Let's go to John 3:5 now for another on the theme of water, the water of life, born of the water here that we are speaking of now. And then we'll talk about that last great day of the feast, that water pouring ceremony that is so symbolic. And of Yahweh cleansing us, and the water and the wine poured together there, and such a beautiful ceremony. Okay, John 3, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. But, okay, how about chapter 4 now? Turn a page or two. John 4:14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give him, Messiah speaking, of course, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And in chapter 7, 38, at the feast, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The previous verse, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life, that water that flows so abundantly from the body of Messiah. Remember the water that flowed out of his side when the centurion pierced his side on that Passover day that Messiah, on the 14th of Aviv, that Messiah was impaled on the tree at Calvary. And notice I didn't say cross there. Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, 22. So, pure water, being washed with pure water, being immersed. That's why we still promote baptism, that most churches have backed away from the doctrine of baptism, or at least they say it doesn't really make any difference how many inches of water, but the word baptismo means to immerse. And then remember in the book of Acts that who was that that he went, anyway, it said he went down into the water and that he came up, the eunuch. That's right, as Philip baptized the eunuch, that first they went down and then came up. So they're not talking about a sprinkling, although to anoint a child at its birth, at his or her birth, seems to me like a great thing, to dedicate a child with that little christening ceremony. But that doesn't wash away their sins according to Scripture. That's just a ceremony that we invented. It's not in the scripture anywhere, but so later on that child needs to grow up, and when they become mature and make a decision to follow Messiah, make a covenant with him, then of course they need to be properly immersed in the water in the name of Messiah. So we covered about the last great day. Now we're in Hebrews 10:22, and let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Once again, drawing near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I think there's another reference in Hebrews that I missed here. Well, we'll make a different note. There we go. And there we go. Silly computer. And then Acts chapter 10, verse 47. And then the question, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the pure Spirit as well as we? So we're washed by the water of Messiah, washed in the water by the word of Messiah. And we go back now to Psalms, to Tehillim, chapter 65, verse 9. And so far, this podcast is, it looks like it's about one half hour in. And don't know how long it'll take or how quickly we'll get over with. Or what sort of scriptures we're going to read. I've got it all laid out here. But as I said in the last podcast, it's not a concern at all whether or not these sound like they're joyful, proud, or happy scriptures or something to that effect, but either positive or negative, it doesn't matter at all. It's Yahweh's word. It's washing us and making us clean. And maybe it for you or for me or someone, at times it's only a day a week that we become little saints and we grow wings. And then the rest of the week, you know, somebody would say, boy, that's he doesn't have a consistent character. But at least it's one day a week. That's a good place to start. Just think, if you keep two feast days, then you'll really look like you've been up to the front there confessing. Psalm 65, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enriched it. So praising Yahweh, you visited the earth and watered it. Thou greatly enriched it with the river of Yahweh, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. So that's a good timely one around the time of Pesach for the true Passover. You water the earth. You enrich it with a river of Yahweh. And that goes along in the course with the book of the Revelation. Then turn right. For most of you, you can turn right to Isaiah and stop at chapter 41, Isaiah 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, Yahweh Almighty, will hear them. I, the Mighty One of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land I will make it springs of water. This all this symbolism here, great for the feast of Sukkot at the end of the summer. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour water upon him that is thirsty, or her, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. Now there's quite a blessing. Isaiah 44:3. If you want to gather the children around at the end of this podcast and bless them, I'll pour my spirit upon thy seed and the blessing. And next verse, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. The water courses. Stay in Yeshayahu in 49, verse 8. Thus saith Yahweh Almighty, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in a day of salvation I have helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. We have many spiritually desolate heritage now. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. You know, to free the prisoner that Yahweh said he would free. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. Show yourselves to the light, and they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. How about verse 7? Thus saith Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, there, and it says holy, so they didn't change that, but their Kadosh one, to the one despised, to the one the nation abhors, to the one the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings will see and arise, princes will also bow down because of Yahweh, who is faithful, the separated of Israel, who has chosen you. Thus saith Yahweh, and it says verse 8 here, on compassion on the children. In a time of favor I will answer you, in a day of salvation I will help you. I'll keep you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the land and make them possess its desolate inheritances, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those in darkness, be shown. Along the roads they will graze, their pasture will be on all the barren heights. They will not hunger or thirst, nor scorching wind or sun strike them, for their compassionate one will lead them, and will guide them by the springs of water. I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways will be raised up. And then picking that up in the King James and Isaiah 49, verse 10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And chapter 58, verse 11, and maybe you can see why I use several versions here. I don't use any watered-down, corrupt versions, but sometimes I'd even use the Living Version, making corrections. They called it the Living Letters back in the 60s. Some called it the Living Bible, mostly. And it's very poetic. But there are mistakes in the New Testament regarding the law, because they don't understand where it says law in a derogatory sense or a negative sense. That is referring to the law of temple sacrifices or the death penalty. That's why it seems like Paul says the law is done away with. And then at other times, he is uplifting the law. In the Tree of Life, it uses the word happy in Psalm 1 or Tehillim 1 or Mizmor. But let's change that to more proper. Joyful is the one who has not walked in the advice of the wicked, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the Torah of Yahweh. And on his Torah he meditates night and day. He'll be like a planted tree over streams of water, producing its fruit during its season. Its leaf never droops, but in all he does, he succeeds. In all he does spiritually, I would think, I would add. Isaiah 58 now. Yeshayahu 58:11. And Yahweh Almighty shall guide them continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Hey, let's see. That's about all we have here for the theme of living waters. But I hope that was refreshing to you, as I often share with the choir. And that cliche, preaching to the choir. Well, we all need to be encouraged. The living fountains of water, the water of life, and the wells of water. The mountains shall drop down, it says there in Joel. They'll drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. A fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahweh Almighty, and shall water the valley of Akasha. And we're being washed by the water, or washing of water by the word, according to Ephesians 5 and John chapter 3. Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Whosoever drinks of the water shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then at the beginning of the podcast, we're to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance, and be ripe. Be ripened unto Yahweh. And then we have the good news from Hope International, their newsletter of the current month and year, issue 62. And this is put out by Hope International. They have little stories. It doesn't go into real in-depth. They got they have some real creation illustrations to talk about in here. They talked about on the program on Family Radio, The Stones Cry Out. They talked about how the Canadian geese was engineered by its creator, by our Heavenly Father, to have flow-through breathing, as opposed to the bellow-type breathing, in and out, but it had flow-through breathing. And then all the feathers, they all went the same way. And that they, of course, were almost transparent. They were so light, so nice and feathery, and they would enable a Canada goose to be able to fly thousands of miles at the altitude of 10,000 feet or so. And sometimes they wind up in a jet engine of they get caught in there. Maybe they've taken measures to stop that, but it shows how vulnerable we could be if we're on a jet, that anything could happen. Anything could happen anywhere these days, so we need to really be alert and be on the lookout that our spiritual life is lining up. If whatever you're buying, whether it be frosted cereals or yogurts or frosting or peanuts or candies, if it doesn't say kosher on the label, then you could be eating some of this non-kosher gelatin made out of bad animal parts. And some of the products include cream cheese, sour cream, throat lozenges, and cupcakes, and non-dairy creamers. Of course, gelatin dessert, marshmallows, frosted cereals, pudding, candies, peanuts, and yogurts, and much more. We have a file, or whatever you want to call it, on our website, yahweh.name, and you can click on that. And that will tell you somewhat about the clean and the unclean. Yes, whatever I said there. So check with our website, yahweh.name. And then if I don't give you enough information on there, perhaps there'll be a link that will lead you to, say, Hezekiah's website, that's JewsForYeshua.com, or many other credible sources. Thank you for being with us today. The length of this podcast has been about 45 minutes. And we are indeed preparing for the Passover. There, as I mentioned, there were two calendars, so we're going to be going with the earlier one, meaning that in the fourth month, the beginning of the fourth pagan month, we're going to be keeping that feast of Passover for 8 days, traveling up to a beautiful place. This year, we're going to have to go around and make a big detour due to a landslide, but normally we can just drive directly to the feast without even seeing any business establishments, advertising, no signs, anything. We don't see any of that. All we see is lovely creations and trees and rivers, and only 60 miles or so from here, I think, would take us to that feast site, staying in a cabin for a very reasonable amount per night, and maybe for the whole feast, $150. So you really can't beat that anywhere with a stick. But as I said, this year we're going to have to go through a town in Oregon that I don't want to go through. But anyway, we'll pray about that, and may Yahweh take us. But the later feast, that's something to study about, and you could go to several websites. Whenisthenewmoon.com and study some of their information. They're going to come out with new videos explaining why they're keeping the feast in the fifth common month and not the fourth. The other one is truthofyahweh.org, T-R-U-T-H of Y-A-H-W-E-H.org, and then /moon, period H-T-M. But we do have those links listed on our websites as well. And so hope you enjoy that study. It's all about growing in Messiah. And we're not going to make an eternal judgment on somebody else if they keep a different calendar, as a few people have done. I sent away for a couple of scriptures and sent one to a listener out there, a viewer on our website, Robert, in Kentucky there. So hi, Robert. Thanks for checking in with us, and hope that this is going to be a real blessing when you get that Tree of Life version. Just replace the word Adonai and put Yahweh back in there. Just mentally, okay? And it shouldn't be too hard. But, yeah, I don't think you'll find the perfect version yet, but we want to get as close as possible. Be perfect even as Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, is perfect. And remember, keeping the feast days is supposed to be a joyful time, but even if it isn't, it's just our reasonable service. I'm Stephen Young. Shalom.